The scripture this morning is Matthew 18, 21 to 22. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven.
Our lesson this morning is entitled, as you've probably seen in the bulletin, The Debt That Could Not Be Paid. And this particular lesson study deals with something that every single human being that's ever lived, is now living, or ever will live, stand in need of. Male or female, it doesn't matter. Because what we're talking about here, folks, is forgiveness. All made possible by Jesus Christ. I want to mention also that if you're not attending the Sunday morning Bible study in the auditorium, Eddie Kuhl is doing an excellent class on 1 Peter. And the reason I thought to mention that and do mention it is because of a thought that was presented this morning in the lesson and was discussed at some extent here among the people here that were here. That is that Jesus Christ is our living hope. God gave him. He is our living hope. And so what a tremendous thought. We can look beyond all of the suffering, the pain, and the things in this life that are so unpleasant at times and are so hurting at times. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Almighty God the Father made it possible for us to look beyond all of those things, because we have this living hope. Think about it. If you haven't been being with us, make time to be with us on Sunday morning. This particular passage that was read is the introduction to a parable that Jesus spoke to answer Peter's question. Because that question was, Peter came to him and said, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? Isn't it so common, folks, with us, are we human beings, that we're always wanting to know just what can I get by with? What do I have to do? Like a lady I heard one time ask Brother Gus Nichols, said, do I have to attend Wednesday night Bible study? Do I have to take the Lord's Supper every week? And, of course, the response is, why would you not want to do those things? This is something everybody needs. You'll need it all of our lives. It's a very practical aspect of our life, our everyday life. Because not only do we speak of thee and look with fondness upon the forgiveness that God made possible through Jesus Christ, we stand in need of it from one another, human beings, on a daily basis. We stand in need at times for our family. I know no human being is perfect, so we can say that safely. No human being is perfect. All of us at one time or another are going to need forgiveness in our lives. All of us at one time or another stand in need of giving someone else forgiveness. And that's what this parable is about. Of course, a word or two to begin with about a parable. Of course, it's a figure of speech. It comes from two Greek words, para and balein, the first of which means to throw alongside or to beside. And the second part, or the second Greek word, is to throw. So the word parable means to throw alongside, to compare something in this life. Sometimes people say, well, the definition of a parable is a heavenly thought that, or a earthly thought. I'll get it right in a minute. Earthly thought with a heavenly meaning, which is not a bad definition at all. It's a figure of speech, and it was used by Jesus Christ to the extent of almost one-third, or maybe a bit more than one-third of his teaching during the entire 3 years he was with us teaching here upon this earth. Now, if Christ used it a third of the time that he taught, what does that say for us? It's a very important element of teaching. It is the telling of a story. It is using a story to make plain a thought that Jesus wanted to get across. And not infrequently did he respond to one of his apostles or to a question concerning a given issue, concerning a given thought, that he would give a parable in exchange. So let's look at this parable this morning. It's a lengthy one as far as the amount is concerned. Look now, if you will, at the parable at verse 22. Peter had asked him the question, "How many times do I have to forgive a brother that sinned against me?" Jesus said, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." Remember the word worshipped that was used here in this verse. Then the Lord said, the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe me." And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So, when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desired me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on you?" And his Lord was wroth, angry, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. A rather lengthy parable with a very poignant lesson. There's some parables in the Old Testament. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 7, we have the parable about Nathan coming to David. Most of us are familiar with that. It was one of the Old Testament. There's several parables in the Old Testament. Most of us are familiar with the parable of David and Nathan. When Nathan came and offered the parable of the one ewe lamb that was taken, and of course the answer to that was, David was the lesson, earned the lesson that he needed to learn. There's another parable about the vineyard, about Isaiah's vineyard in chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, in regard to the seed that was planted and so on. We have more parables per se in the New Testament than we do in the Old, of course. But I have noted here to emphasize the reality of parables. That is, that while parable is a figure of speech, and any parable that is told is not necessarily something that actually happened, but it is something that could actually happen, It is not the kind of figure of speech such as a fable in which animals are involved and it's impossible that it should actually take place, even though it teaches a lesson. The parable teaches a lesson. I am fully persuaded that the issue or the incident of Lazarus and the rich man that we're so familiar with, I believe that actually happened. Some people believe it was a parable. And of course, you've read very many commentaries. You know that there are given reasons why some people think that it is a parable and some who think it is not a parable. But the lesson is the same regardless. In regard to any parable, the lesson is the same because not only if it didn't happen, it could have happened. And it's used to teach a lesson. The story is. Now, the central lesson, of course, in this parable is that of forgiveness. Jesus answered Peter's question. And I want to emphasize this here. Forgiveness is a key issue of the Bible from Genesis 1:1 to the very first last verse of the book of Revelation. Due to the fact that it's something every one of us need, from the time we are able to begin talking until we leave this earth, it's something that we need on a daily basis. We need it from our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need it for our friends and neighbors. We need to be willing to give and to accept. Occasionally you hear someone say, well, do I have to forgive a person if they don't ask for forgiveness? That goes back to that old attitude I mentioned a few moments ago. What do I have to just get by? If I can get by with one service a week attended, is that okay? If I have to come two services, is that okay? How many times do I have to forgive my brother? Jesus said 70 times 7. Now, if you go back and examine some passages in the Old Testament, you will find out that that same issue was used in regard to vengeance, which is the opposite of the forgiveness we're talking about. Everywhere you look in the Bible, folks, you see the issue of forgiveness. All the way back to the Garden of Eden. And how that Adam and Eve brought into the world the issue of the need for forgiveness. Because they sinned against God. And we suffer the consequences of the sin. Not the guilt of their sin, but the consequences of their sin. Meaning that we live in a world with sin. Meaning that we as human beings do commit sin and will as long as we live here. And that's why Jesus taught so much, why the scripture, the Holy Spirit taught so much about forgiveness. I have to say that there have been a few times in my life as a gospel preacher that I have heard an individual say in regard to forgiveness, well, if he ever did that, if she ever did that, I could never forgive them. What that individual was talking about was a unfaithfulness in the marriage institution on the part of the wife or the husband. And when I hear an individual make a statement like that, my mind goes back around 2,000 years. And I almost, in my mind's eye, see myself standing at the edge of the crowd, still able to see the body of Christ hanging on Calvary's cross. Now, folks, if God's Son can forgive as He requested of the people that day from the cross when He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If our Savior can forgive to that degree, how much more should we be willing to forgive? What a tremendous heart he had. A heart that was broken for you and I and for every human being. And if we, beginning at the Garden of Eden in reference to forgiveness, and we begin to move on through the Bible itself into the age of the patriarchs, we know that Abraham needed and had to have forgiveness. We know that individuals back in those days at times forgave one another. We know the prophets needed forgiveness. We know the prophets taught much on forgiveness. We know the nation of Israel was continually needing forgiveness. Read the book of Judges. Again and again and again and again, the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, the leaders of Israel would drift away from Almighty God, from the Father in heaven, back into the world as it was. And a judge would be raised up by the Father in heaven to bring them back, to draw them back, to, if you will, forgive them over and over and over. Othniel, Samson, all of those who were judges during that period of time. Most of us are familiar with that last verse in the last chapter of the book of Judges where it said, "And in the period of the judges, man did what was right in his own eyes." That's why they needed forgiveness. That's why we need forgiveness. Because we do sin from day to day. And hopefully as we live out our lives in this world, we will improve day by day. But only as we depend upon the blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness that He's offered to us. And if we move on through the book, we come into the New Testament, you know, and there's all kinds of stuff this time of the year that we see about the babe in the manger and so on. And we can walk with Mary and Joseph in their journeys about this time and the world, the babe was brought into the world to Jesus Christ, and we see forgiveness. Just like when we look at the judges, period of judges, we see forgiveness. In the life of Abraham and of Moses and of Joshua, we see forgiveness. And we look into the life of Jesus Christ Himself, we see forgiveness on the other side when He was forgiving people here upon this earth. People just like you and I. Then into the life of the apostles, they began to preach and spread the gospel. We see the forgiveness. They preached to the whole world as they were instructed by Jesus Christ Himself in the Great Commission when He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." In other words, he'll be forgiven. You ever think about that when you quote that Great Commission? They shall be saved. That simply means they shall be forgiven. Period. And then, of course, all the way through the book of Revelation to the end of the New Testament, through all of the letters the Apostle Paul wrote, yes, he talked about forgiveness. The Apostle Peter and all of those authors of the New Testament talked about forgiveness. You can not go very far in the Bible in your study without reading something about forgiveness. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, Matthew 18:11, a little bit earlier in this particular passage. Same thing is recorded by Luke in Luke chapter 19 in verse 10. Son of Man came to do what? To seek and to save the lost. In other words, to retrieve the forgiveness on the part of man, or on the part of Jesus Christ, on behalf of man. All people have sinned, folks, so we all need forgiveness. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we know that according to Romans 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. We need forgiveness. Then there's Peter's questions itself. You know, Peter probably thought that he was being generous. There was a saying by the rabbis, under which, you know, Peter was raised a Jew. There was a saying among the rabbis that if a person sins against you, forgive him once. You forgive him once if he asks it. If he sins the second time, forgive him. If he sins the third time, forgive him. If he sins the fourth time, no. You've reached your limit. That was a saying of the rabbis. That's what the Jews were teaching that particular day and time. That's Peter's question. The true limit of forgiveness, Jesus said, wasn't a limit exactly. And that is 70 times 7. That's how many times you forgive. In other words, as many times as a brother sins against you and you forgive him, as many times as he sins against you, Jesus is just using that as a figure of speech to say you should always be open to forgiving those who sin against you. And think how many have sinned against Christ. God will forgive all sin, folks. And then there is the unmerciful servant in this particular parable. He could not pay. That's the issue. As far as the numbers are concerned here, it speaks of him in regard to 10,000 talents. And I read some sources in that, and it ranged all the way from the unmerciful servant, that debt that he couldn't pay, of 10,000 talents, of it being as much as $5 million in our money in our day and time. Whereas the other servant that only had so many pence, it was only about 20 bucks. So here was a servant that had been forgiven by the Lord, by his king. And the Lord here is, the king here is the representative of Almighty God. And he had actually forgiven this servant all of this humongous amount of money. And the servant, the unmerciful servant, at the same time wasn't willing to give the very tiniest forgiveness for the tiniest amount. 10,000 talents, according to some, means was $10 million. And look at the punishment that was issued to him in the very beginning and what his Lord actually forgave him for. Not only those talents, but his wife and his children and all that he had. The wife and his children should be sold into slavery. That's what the parable is implicating here. And not only, it goes on to just say all he had, everything he had, all the possessions he had, his wife and children would be taken and sold into slavery, as slaves, of course. And yet he was forgiven all that. The reason being that the king had compassion on him. And yet that servant would not even have the smallest amount of compassion for that servant that owed him some. It was impossible for him to pay. Here in this parable, folks, we find the double standard. The double standard that so many times, I remember when we were a kid, we used to say, well, let's flip a coin. Heads I win, tails you lose. That was one of our kid things that we thought was pretty cool at the time. Pretty hip at the time. Pretty whatever it was we said at the time instead of cool. But that's the double standard. The demands of the unmerciful servant on his fellow servant as compared to the forgiveness God had made for him. And stop and think about it, beloved. At times, like I say, that I've overheard people say, well, I could never, ever forgive them. Think how small the forgiveness is that we have to administer to people and our brothers and sisters here on earth compared to what he did for us. Big is when you do it, and little is when I do it. Same thing. Sin, we're talking about. Well, folks, forgiveness is the main lesson in this parable. Christ assumed our debt. God, of course, the Father is the King in this parable. Jesus Christ Himself is God. He came to seek and to save the lost. He emptied Himself. The Apostle Paul wrote in the Philippian letter, He emptied Himself, which means that He gave up something of great value in heaven for the period of time when He was here upon this earth. He gave it up. Look where He was at and look where He came to. All to forgive you and I from some act that we have done, some sin that we've committed. When it comes to sin, you talk about the kind of sin Jeffrey Dahmer did, the kind of sin that Adolf Hitler did, Saddam Hussein did, and all of these so-called great humongous sins these people committed. But what about those people at the foot of the cross that nailed the Son of God to that cross? What about the magnitude of their sin? It could never even be approached by human beings here on earth. Christ assumed our debt. And He's paid our debt only if we'll take advantage of it, beloved. Only if we'll take advantage. And all of us have sinned against God, therefore we need to be forgiven. And the final thought is this, coming from the Sermon on the Mount as well as in another place or two. God will forgive us all of our sins with one condition. And that is that we forgive others. Didn't He teach His apostles that? In the model prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. About 3 or 4 different words are used there. What's that teaching us? It's teaching us this, pure and simple. God is not going to forgive us unless we forgive our brothers and sisters in Christ. God is not going to forgive us unless we forgive our husband or wife. God is not going to forgive us unless we forgive our children. He's not going to forgive us unless we forgive our parents, our sister, our brother, our neighbor, our loved ones, whomsoever it might be. If we're unwilling to forgive, God is unwilling to forgive. Now we ask us this morning, as each one of us reflects in our own heart, because we don't know the hearts of others. I don't know your heart, you don't know mine. And so as we reflect inwardly and examine our own hearts, we ask ourselves this question. Am I willing to forgive no matter how great the sin might be that someone has committed against us? Am I willing to forgive? If you are, God is willing to forgive you. He's willing to forgive me. Let us think of these things this morning, because we know that there may be those here in this audience who have never named the name of Jesus Christ, who have never put on their son in baptism, who've never become a member of His body, who has never ever confessed our belief before men and repented of our sins and been buried with Him in baptism. And if you know that and understand that from the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, why not this morning take care of that? And if you're a child of God that has strayed from the fold this morning, why not come and make that right and let God once again, and let us once again forgive you to whatever measure we are able to do that. As together we stand and sing.